Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. It's Friday. I'm very happy for this Friday. I'm ready for a little bit of a weekend. Here with Manhattan Regional Airport Director Jesse Romo, still with us. He'll be with us till about 9:30. And Jesse, you wanted to talk about some scheduling of some flights and maybe some clarifications.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned the bigger aircraft in the last segment there, and I thought it was a good opportunity to talk through the schedule and what's going on seasonally, because this is a seasonal adjustment. It is a normal thing that the airline does. We had that occur in January where we scaled back a little bit in our frequency. Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, we did go down by one flight a day. So we had two flights, not two one flight a day. And I know there was a typo there in one of the media reports that caught a lot of people's attention. But it was just one flight a day for 3 days. And then come February, that flight comes right back. And then by April, we should have the large aircraft coming back too. So it's kind of one of those things where the airline tries to right size for the market and adjust for the seasonal fluctuality of our employments. And as you can imagine, it starts getting a little bit slower right after the holidays and people have a little bit less money. And especially wintertime, you know, it's not always the greatest time to travel. So, you know, it's just an adjustment there and we'll be back at it.
And probably something you expected, nothing that caught you off guard.
Yeah, it's something we expected. So, like I said, it's kind of a routine thing of seasonal adjustment there.
All right, then, and some other topics wanted to go over.
Which is parking.
Parking. That's always a topic.
That was mentioned by the caller yesterday too. At the last segment that said that a lot of the success can be measured by how full that parking lot is, and he's absolutely right. You know. Especially around the holiday, around Christmas, we didn't have very much parking at all anywhere. People were very creative in the way they hopped curves and found areas to park their vehicles. And we were very accommodating, understanding that, you know, that we have a capacity issue. And we've been trying to address that, and we're continuing to work with the City Commission on that. And the Airport Advisory Board meeting this coming Monday, which will be at 11 o'clock over in City Hall in the Commission Chambers, we'll be discussing the parking design contract that we have with Olson & Associates and hope to move that forward and get some much-needed improvements that we have out there. It is a beautiful facility, and right adjacent to it is a couple gravel lots that are well past their useful life. We have a lot of asphalt pavement that has deteriorated that needs to be redone and improved. We need to stripe the lots out so we have more capacity and utilization. So there's a lot of things that we need to address in the parking realm at the airport.
And some other topics you wanted to go over, and really just kind of an update on something that was discussed, I guess, early in the fall, maybe a few months ago. It's hard for me to tell time anymore. Just everything either seems like it was just yesterday or a long time ago, no in between. But talking about some flights at the Salina Airport with Denver and just kind of update on that. I understand that the FAA allowed them to have that and with a federal subsidy.
Yeah, actually, it's not the FAA, but it is the U.S. DOT, the parent of FAA, that runs the program. So it's kind of a weird deal that DOT actually has an aviation office separate from the FAA that does some aviation-related things. And one of them is manage the Essential Air Service Program, EAS. And just kind of a background, EAS was created in 1978. Back when the airline industry was deregulated. So prior to deregulation, the government was able to tell the airlines where to fly, when to fly, and how much to charge. The airlines were pushing back at that time. And funny enough, a study showed that free market rates were actually cheaper than the government mandated and subsidized rates. And so when the airline industry was deregulated, they thought, well, the smaller communities may lose their service, so we need to give them a subsidy to help them out for a while. That subsidy has continued on for years, and now it's to the point where a community like Salina, just an hour's drive from Manhattan, is now going to be directly competing with the regional jet to the same market that we serve, Chicago O'Hare. I will point out, though, that if you go to flymhk.com, you'll see that our flight departure times are much more convenient, that it will get you there to the East Coast and connect you and bring you back home from your meetings.
Closer to home.
It's closer to where you want to be.
That's what it is. It's close.
Yeah.
So, and I think you told me over the break you're still kind of – is that final?
That is the final decision by the USDOT in April. You'll see Salina start changing their schedules out. And, you know, we're going to keep an eye on it. We're going to continue to remind our catchment area of the great advantages they have with flying Manhattan. Like I said, we have great convenient schedules, and we've got two flights a day to Chicago. And so really, if you're in the North Central Kansas area, we're still your number one option for getting you there.
And I remember your main argument against this a few months ago was just that really just it being that close and going against basically free market against the subsidy issue. And Manhattan Regional Airport used to have a subsidy as well.
Manhattan is a great success story of what that subsidy should have been, which is supplement the community until they can stand on their own. And so you had the community continue to grow like Manhattan, and a lot of local dollars were raised to help secure American Eagle coming in. And so when your local community is buying into the fact that you can support service, I think that is a great signal of the strength of the community. We've shown the success, and we are no longer subsidized. We are a free market airport. And you're absolutely right. It kind of touches on the principle of it. Is a federal subsidy really intended to compete with a free market? And this one really is not. And that's exactly what it's doing. And so that, you know, personally rubs me the wrong way, just principally. And I think just from the market standpoint, it shouldn't be that way. And Wichita Airport has also seen the competition from that, from subsidized markets. And I think it's time for the federal government and our congressmen to hear from citizens if they feel strongly about it as well, that the program needs to be reevaluated. It's caught up to some industry trends that are, you know, not boding well for developing economics. Is now just transferring economics and creating competition where there shouldn't be. And so, that's something that we're hopeful at maybe at some point down the line we can see changed.
And, of course, I think the main point with that, when you talk about the success story it's been for Manhattan Regional, you had that federal subsidy when it wasn't like there was another airport down the road with the same flights and also a federal subsidy. It was you got that federal subsidy because in this market, there wasn't a lot of competition for those same flights, whereas now the big key is, like you said, Salina's just an hour down the road, and that's just, in your opinion, just too close for comfort when it comes to trying to compete with that federal subsidy. It was different when Manhattan Regional got it because there wasn't that sort of direct competition just down the road for the same flights.
When Manhattan Regional Airport was receiving the federal subsidy for EAS, we were also getting those 19-seat aircraft and the smaller planes and much shorter hauls, you know, to Kansas City or a stop in Nebraska on your way to Colorado. Whereas now we got the regional jet service and no longer need a subsidy. The difference is now the subsidy program is bringing in regional jets the same size that we fly in a free market and giving them $3 million, you know, in subsidized costs and fares. So the ticket prices that passengers are offered are artificially low. And so then how do you compete with that as free market against artificially low tickets for the same type of aircraft to the same types of markets? And that is a new trend that is happening and developing right now. And it's not just us that's feeling it. There are other airports across country that are seeing this competition too.
Brady Bowman here with Manhattan Regional Airport Director Jesse Romo. And looks like we do have a phone call. We'll have Dave give it a listen real quick before we put him on. And not for us. Real quick, before we go, Jesse, just got a couple more minutes. So I want to talk about the new toy at Manhattan Regional Airport, funded through the city of Manhattan and I believe through some grant money as well. But the ARF, which is a fun thing to say.
ARF is always a fun thing to say. And ARF stands for Aircraft Rescue and Firefighting. And it's one of the things that we need to do as a federal requirement is to make sure that we can have firefighting equipment that can respond to the aircraft that are coming into the airport. So we call that an ARF index, and it's driven by the length of the aircraft and the frequency of flights. But yeah, our fire department, which is it's managed by the city's fire department, and they take care of Station 4, and we got a grant from the FAA, which picked up 90% of that. And that truck is huge.
It looks awesome. It looks really cool.
It's exciting. It's got more buttons in the cockpit than you have in front of you there for here. So it's something that I know they're very excited about, and we're happy to have too.
It looks like a transformer. Like it'd be a really awesome Autobot transformer. We do have a phone call. Caller, you're on in focus. Go ahead.
Good morning. Could you give us a quick update? When the big jets came in, there was talk about spending $7 million more in security infrastructure and hiring more people. How'd that turn out?
Well, it wasn't several million dollars. There was a couple hundred thousand dollars in additional expenses that we did have to incur over the year for the security upgrade. Some of those were investments into equipment that it was kind of a one-time upgrade cost. We were able to accomplish those things, and I'll give, you know, one of the things that when we started talking to TSA about that whole process, there was a couple talks of it being at least over $1 million in some of the improvements that we needed to make. But we were able to negotiate a lot of those things down. So give a lot of credit to the partnership we have with the federal security director down in Wichita, who represents TSA for our state, and was really good to work with, and allowed us an opportunity to kind of customize the security program for Manhattan Region Airport. And we were able to accomplish that within 90 days, which afforded us the opportunity to bring in those larger aircraft come May 5th. So, yeah, we did pick up a little bit in staff and in budget, but overall, it wasn't as impactful as we originally anticipated.
Good, good. Is the additional staff then adjustable when the planes don't come in on January and February?
That is not something that we're going to adjust from our staffing perspective. There's still a lot of security requirements that we need to keep in place and do. And as I mentioned, the aircraft are coming right back. So it's just a short seasonal dip. And for the continuity of the security program, most all those things stay in place.
Good. Good. Hey, thanks a lot.
Sure thing.
Thanks for the call. And Jesse, thanks for coming in.
And Brady, let me mention one more thing, because we're talking about the anniversary of May 5th, and that's when the larger aircraft came in. This May 5th, we're actually going to be partnering with Girls on the Run of the Flint Hills region. We're going to be hosting their 5K. That's something they just put on the Facebook page, and we're going to start talking about it a little bit more. But it's a great opportunity for us to engage with the community, and a great program in Girls on the Run. My daughter had participated in it several semesters over the last couple of years. It culminates in a 5K event, and they get everybody out there. And it's not just for girls. Other people can go out there and register and run and be a part of it. I look forward to seeing you out there on May 5th. I know you're going to get your running shorts on and get out there. We can run around the perimeter of the airport. And then afterwards, we'll have a flying event, and folks will be able to come out, and we'll open the doors and do touch plane, touch truck, and hopefully experience a lot more of aviation.
You know, I might take you up on that. It is kind of a bucket list thing for this year, is to do some 5Ks. Never done one before, so we'll give it a try. Manhattan Regional Airport Director Jesse Romo, thanks so much for coming on, Jesse. When we come back, we'll talk some young farmers and ranchers with John Buttenhoff via telephone. More in focus after the break.